Three teenage hockey players charged with sexual violence in a case of apparent hazing. Gate gourmet workers at Toronto's Pearson Airport are on strike. Secret documents reveal that the United Conservative Party had been communicating with coal industry execs for months before they announced opening the Rockies to open pit mines. A bunch of stuff you should know about the federal budget, and the UN special envoy to Libya resigns, citing bad faith among the country's rival leaders to move beyond the status quo. Good morning. It's Wednesday, April 17th. I'm Nora. Here are your headlines. First, we go to Manitoba, where three 17-year-olds have been charged with a string of sexual assault charges, including sexual assault with a weapon and forcible confinement. Charles Lefebvre from CTV Winnipeg reports that the events all happened in a Winnipeg hotel room in November 2023 and January 2024, while their hockey team was in town for tournaments. The victims were 15 and 16 years old, and the violence is allegedly part of some sick hazing ritual. The hockey team is from the Pembina Valley area. The whistleblower on the abuse was a, quote, member of the coaching staff, unquote, who took their concerns to the high school principal. Something like four groups in the piece all are quoted saying that they're taking this very seriously. What isn't mentioned, though, is any comment from an expert in child sexual psychology about how this kind of thing is learned behavior, that no one goes out for the first time and does sexual violence to a teammate if they hadn't learned it from somewhere else. Might they originate from hockey teams outside the high school system? We might not ever know, considering the ages of everyone involved and how cagey hockey authorities are to talk about systemic sexual assault. Next, the food workers at Gate Gourmet in Toronto at Pearson Airport have walked off the job. More than 800 members of Teamsters Local 647 are fighting for better health and safety in the workplace and higher wages. They had accepted taking no pay increases during the pandemic as the industry was battered by lockdowns, but their wages then never picked back up. The union's president, Martin Cherqua, told CBC News that Gate Gourmet workers at Vancouver's airport are paid more than those in Toronto. The company is bewildered by the fact that the workers walked away from a 12% wage increase proposal spread over 3 years. Gee, I don't know, Gate Gourmet. Zeros in 2020 and now a wage increase that is below inflation? How could the workers say no to that? Gate Gourmet stocks food for Air Canada and some WestJet flights. Air Canada is warning that North American flights out of Pearson will be impacted by the strike, but they're going to find ways to manage international food stocks. They also warned that flights less than 2 hours will be most impacted, aka your tomato juice will have to wait. WestJet is going to give meal vouchers to people before they take off for transatlantic flights, which, man, make sure you pack your own food. You do not want to be over Iceland and ready to eat someone's shoe. Next to Alberta, where Bob Weber from the Canadian Press is reporting that the United Conservative Party has been quietly talking with leadership from the coal industry that would have allowed open pit mining in the Rockies for coal. The Rockies have been protected from open pit mining for, well, I'd hope we could say this would be obvious for obvious reasons, but maybe not. For at least 7 months before the government told the public their plans, they had expressed their openness to the industry about allowing more coal developments. Weber reports that the government's plans to open the Rockies up to coal mining, quote, sparked a rush of coal exploration interest on thousands of hectares, unquote. The plan was rescinded after people, particularly ranchers who'd be directly impacted, mobilized against it. The government had been trying to block the release of these documents. While they have been consulting with the coal industry, Weber reports that there had been no consultations at all with First Nations, environmental groups, or municipalities at the time that the plans were announced. Next, yesterday was Budget Day. You've been waiting for me to get to that, right? Well, all the headlines say pretty much the same thing. Higher taxes on the rich, more money for housing, and more money for Canada to do military stuff with. CBC's Catherine Cullen, after presumably sitting in the budget lockup for 6 hours, came up with this lead to describe the budget. Quote, Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland today tabled a 400-page plus budget her government is pitching as a bomb for anxious millennials and Generation Z, unquote. a bomb. Like, Cullen doesn't have to actually carry the government's message in the lead of her article. She could, like, you know, do journalism and report what it actually is. Is this actually a bomb for anxious millennials and Generation Z? Well, let's see. First, the article is not super well edited because Cullen uses the word pitching again in the next paragraph. The government will offload government assets like offices to turn them into homes, including 1,700 plus Canada Post offices. But it doesn't really explain how they're going to turn them into homes, at least in this article. I'm going to have to read the budget myself, unfortunately, to figure this out. But it seems like they're just asset bleeding or asset dumping. They're unloading their assets and then hoping that developers will develop the houses. They're not actually going to develop houses themselves, which would be, of course, the fastest way to build housing. And in the article, there's nothing actually about making homes affordable, as these things, if handed to the private market, would just become a transfer of money from the public assets to private investment. One of the interesting things that I found in another article from CTV is they listed some of the addresses that the government is interested in dumping. There's two addresses in Quebec City, and they're both on the inside of the historic wall, two locations that are right on the Plains of Abraham that I can't imagine would be developed into anything more than maybe a couple of condos. I mean, if that, if UNESCO even allowed them to build in these spots. So it seems like the real news is their asset dumping, but they're turning it into like a housing announcement, which if this was 20 years ago, they would just be proudly asset dumping. Anyway, okay, now to students, because of course there's a bomb for Gen Z in this as well, apparently, according to Kathleen Cullen. To help get students a place to live, they will increase the cost of loans and grants, but it just says the assistance program, which suggests loans. So there you go, students, you get higher student loans to pay for your higher rents. Now, on to taxes for the rich. This one is particularly irritating. They are raising some taxes on the extremely rich, and somehow this is the lead that most journalists in Canada decided to focus on with yesterday's budget. Let me explain. Capital gains is money that rich people make from things like stocks. If a rich person makes less than $250,000 in capital gains, so up to $250,000, they, get this, are not charged any tax. Like, I made like $30,000 on freelance writing last year, and I was charged a hell of a lot of tax. But if those were capital gains, $250,000 or less, they're not charged any tax at all. If they surpass that, if they surpass $250,000, their money that is above $250,000 is taxed at 2/3 rather than 50%, which is the current policy. So they're raising it by a quarter, how much tax is charged on capital gains earnings over and above $250,000. And that seems like it's it. That's all they're offering by way of taxing the rich. A true joke, as there's no reason why any portion of capital gains wouldn't be taxed. For disabled adults under the age of 64 who are low income, they might get about $200 per month through a new disability income supplement. Now, good news for CBC, they're getting $42 million more next year. But I bet they wish that they were CSIS, because CSIS is getting a funding injection of $655.7 million over 8 years. Maybe they'll get to the bottom of how one of the Michaels was definitely not a spy. Oh, and Indigenous communities will be able to access loans for natural resource and energy projects. Now, there's a lot that Cullen doesn't mention, and I might get into that later for YouTube, but we'll see. I don't know. CTV is reporting a piece of information that I think is pretty important, that the federal government is hoping to cut 5,000 federal public service jobs. The move will pull $4.2 billion out of the federal government, and the feds promise that it won't impact service, but I bet you it will. They also want to amend the federal labor code so that workers cannot be contacted after hours, giving them the right to disconnect, which would be great if they don't get fired from this cutback of 5,000 jobs. This will apply to workers in the federally regulated sectors only. And finally, to Libya, where Abdullahi Bathily has resigned from his role as UN Special Envoy to Libya. Bathily is a Senegalese diplomat who was appointed to help figure out a political transition in Libya. He said that there is no good faith among Libya's leadership, reports Al Jazeera. After NATO overthrew Muammar Gaddafi, that country has been embroiled in civil war. There is a government in Tripoli that the UN recognizes and another government in the east. The previous envoy, Jan Kubis from Slovakia, quit abruptly in 2022 after less than a year. There have been no elections since 2014, and it was a vote that led to the country's two governments. In the last couple of years, things have calmed down in terms of violence between the two sides in Libya, but there are still skirmishes that arise from time to time. Those are your headlines for Wednesday, April 17th. I'm Nora. You are listening to this podcast at sanynora.com, on the Real News Network podcast feed, and anywhere you get your podcasts. I hope you have a wonderful Wednesday. I'll talk to you tomorrow.